Hello, and welcome to the Rooted in Reliability podcast, your plant performance podcast, where we dive deeper into asset management techniques and know-how. I'm your host, James Kovacevic, and I will be your guide to achieving industry best practice. The Rooted in Reliability podcast is here to provide you with the insights to improve plant performance and deliver bottom-line results to your organization. In case you missed the last episode, you can find the Rooted in Reliability podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, and on the reliability.fm network. Don't forget to subscribe so you'll never miss an episode. Now let's dive into today's topic. Hello, it is my pleasure today to welcome Scott Kelly, Managing Director of Geometric Reliability, back to the Rooted in Reliability podcast. Welcome, Scott.
Thank you very much, James. How are you today?
I'm doing quite well. Yourself?
I'm doing well, thank you.
You know, I previously had you on to talk about the importance of an asset management model, and that episode struck a chord with a lot of people. There was a lot of sharing, a lot of feedback on that episode. So first, I'd like to thank you for providing that value to our listeners.
No, you're welcome. It was my pleasure.
And as part of that, I wanted to continue to build upon that asset model methodology. So what we're going to do is we're going to take the time to go through six more episodes highlighting each cell within that asset management model. Scott, would you be able to tell us what those six cells are?
Be happy to. In talking about it from a little higher level, though, so that we don't, you know, make it from just a commercial standpoint, I wanted to say that asset management models, and there's a lot of companies out there that have them or organizations that have them, and whether or not they're circular or whether they're not pyramidal, mine actually combines both circular and pyramidal, and I did it that way on purpose. I've also looked at the way people remember things and gone back into when we were in first, second, third grade, and I tried to make it as simple as possible and give it to the people so that there are things that make it easy to remember. For example, I'm using geometric figures to delineate each of the different components within the model, and I call those cells. And then tied back to that, I also use colors, and each one of the cells has a depicted color so that any shade or facet within that would actually follow through with that color. And then the third being is I use mnemonics and alliteration so that it makes it easier for people to remember the different components, and I call those facets within each of the cells. So talking through those six cells that we have, and again, it's back to six from a standpoint that they have determined that if you have more than six items, it becomes more difficult for people to remember all the items that go through that without actually making a specific effort to try and remember them. The six cells that I have are people, plant, processes, policies and procedures, that's one cell, performance, and proactive maintenance. Right? We're going to talk about the first cell today, and we're going to talk about people and the components or the facets that make up the people cell within the plant excellence model.
Perfect. And I have to ask, why is people first?
You know, that was not an accident. We put people first, and it's at the very top of the model. And what's neat about the model is it can be rotated in any facet that you like so that you can look at it that way. But we specifically made the top people because it doesn't matter how good your processes are. It does not matter what kind of tools you have. It does not matter if you have the most newfangled gadget out there. If you do not have people, and you do not have well-trained people, you are going to struggle to actually carry forward a manufacturing excellence or an excellent organization, period. So we made them first, foremost, and always at the top.
Without people and getting them on board and engaged, it's going to be very difficult to sustain any asset management model that you have in place. So I'm very excited that you took the time to identify that and put that up front and on top of the model. So what makes up the people cell?
Well, if you're looking at the people cell and the different components that are in the people cell, first and foremost, we talk about the organizational development. Then we talk about organizational structure, talk about continuous improvement, change management, and operational excellence. Okay, some people also call operational excellence manufacturing excellence. So if we want to talk about each one of those, facets, and then what constitutes that facet, then, for example, organizational development has four or five major specific components that make up that facet. First and foremost, we're talking about a vision and mission relative to asset management. Okay? It's very difficult to actually go down a path or go down a course when you don't know where you're going to arrive or what you're going to achieve as you get down that path. So it's important that you actually have a vision of what it's supposed to look like when you get there. What is the mission that we're talking about on that path? Now, I'm not talking about something that's soft and warm, or, you know, as they would say, apple pie and motherhood kind of a situation. We're talking about something very tangible. Now, I interrupted you, James. I think you wanted to ask a question.
No, I was just going to bring up the fact that, you know, we talked about the importance of having that end goal in sight. I believe it was during the ABCs of asset management that we had that conversation. You have to have that end goal. You have to know where your end destination is, or that journey will never, ever end. And you'll never know if you're successful.
That's correct. And traditionally speaking, just like if you jumped in the car, and we talked about this in the ABCs of asset management, and you said we're going on vacation, if you really didn't have a destination in mind, if you didn't have a plan to get there, if you didn't have a roadmap in order to get there, it's extremely easy to get lost along the way, get diverted, distracted, spend more money than you really need to, right? Break down along the side of the road, etc. So it's absolutely essential that you have a vision and mission statement specifically to asset management so that you can deal with that. Now, organizational development is about change, right? We're talking about changing the culture. We're talking about changing the knowledge base. We're talking about changing the sustainability of asset management within the company. And change is hard.
It's one of the hardest things that organizations have to deal with. You can buy the fanciest computer system. You can design the greatest processes, but getting people to buy into that change and follow it is extremely difficult.
Right. And we talked about that briefly in the asset management, the ABCs of asset management as well, right? And traditionally, I find all the time people say, I don't mind change. In fact, I know change is good. I embrace change. And all of that is true until it comes to them. And what they really mean is, I really don't mind change. I like change as long as it doesn't affect me, right? So change is painful. Change is going to be painful. And no matter what you do, you're going to have to deal with that. So some of the things that you can do to ease some of that pain, and these are the different components that we're talking about relative to the vision and mission, is, for example, roles, responsibilities, expectations, and measures, R-R-E-M, right? A lot of people talk about roles and responsibilities, but unless you actually can define those roles, responsibilities, and then tie them back to expectations of the people, and how are we going to measure them against that so that they understand it, that E-M component, which is often overlooked, is the most important part for ensuring success and sustainability of the roles and responsibilities.
Yes, the individuals doing that work need to know what specifically they're going to be measured on, how their performance is going to be evaluated. If you just give a generic high-level measure for the department, they don't have that tangible piece to work after, whereas a planner, you may be focusing on number of planned jobs developed, stuff like that. It really brings it home to them.
Absolutely. Right. And then the next thing, let's talk about training. But before we actually really talk about that, I think it's important to notice that the model that I have with the facets that are there and the cells that are there, they're all interconnected in some ways. Okay. So the next thing that we're going to talk about under roles, responsibility, expectations, and measures is training. Right. Back to not only the roles and responsibilities, but also, as we'll talk about in the plant cell here in the next show, we'll talk about how we come to the specific types of training and skills that are required to actually maintain the plan. So when you're dealing with this as it relates to the organizational development, right, we have to understand, one, what is our mission and vision? Two, tied to that vision, how are we going to get there and what are we going to do and what are the skills that are required to do that? Then you're saying, okay, what are the current skills of the individuals that I have today? And how do I actually bring them and my plant and the level of competency to the level that I need in order to actually achieve that mission and vision that comes with that? Now, I'm a believer that if, in fact, you're going to take the time and effort to train not only your maintenance people, but your operational people as well, you need to have some form of internal certification process in that training so that you can validate that not only did they actually get the training, but they actually comprehended and can demonstrate that training back to you.
It's all about the application of what they learned. You can sit in lectures all day, you can sit in the classroom all day, but if you can't apply those techniques, that knowledge, the training was a complete waste of time. So I agree 100% with that certification piece is, do they have the skills to apply that in the plant today?
Now, the certification I'm referring to is not necessarily a certification, for example, like the CMRP or the CMRT. I'm talking about an internal certification where the company is saying, you, as an individual, have demonstrated that you know these individual skills to the level that I consider you to be competent to do your job.
Yep, absolutely.
Right? I just don't want you to feel that these are something that have to be spent a lot of money on, or they have to be sent out to the individual sent out to get this certification. This is basically almost every job that you have, you could break down that job into individual skills. And then once you have those individual skills in line or in mind, then you can look at how do I actually prove that this individual can do those specific skills. The military in the U.S. uses a method of training where it's, one, I'm going to tell you what I'm going to teach you. Two, I'm going to teach you what I told you I was going to teach you. Three, I'm going to demonstrate or show you what I taught you. And four, you're going to show me what I taught you, and therefore demonstrate the practical application of the education to the point where you can be certified in it.
Makes perfect sense.
Okay. Then the last piece of this organizational development is performance evaluation. In other words, we need to tie those expectations and measures that we had talked about before back into your performance evaluation relative to individuals doing their job. And unless you actually create a performance eval that has both subjective and quantitative values in it, it becomes very difficult to do a comprehensive performance evaluation of the individual.
Absolutely. And when you have those quantitative measures in place, it gives you that hard evidence to have those hard conversations and, you know, make sure they start improving their skills. If you need to provide additional training, do that. And, you know, worst case scenario, you have to manage them accordingly. But hopefully we can avoid that if possible.
Right. Now, the next step you're dealing with as it relates to the roles, responsibilities, expectations, and measures, or the next major facet that we talk about is organizational structure, right? And that is, how are we going to structure our organization so that we utilize the roles, responsibilities, expectations, and measures? I read something and I thought it was so concise in how he had described this that I'd like to go ahead and quote it. And it was, an organizational structure defines how activities such as task allocation, coordination, and supervision are directed toward the achievement of organizational aims. It can also be considered as the viewing glass or perspective through which individuals see their organization and its environment. And that was by Jacob Bides, and it was written back in 2007.
It's perfect. Okay. It tells you exactly what that is. It makes it clear.
Right. Now, the next facet we can talk about as it relates to the people is continuous improvement, right, which is actually change management. Too many times I see people talk about, instead of talking about asset management, they talk about continuous improvement. Continuous improvement is a philosophy, not an actual specific methodology. There are methodologies that you put in place to support continuous improvement, And those kind of things need to be discussed, and we will talk about those. But I talk about those also as operational excellence in itself. But continuous improvement, what we're referring to in this case, is how are we setting ourselves up so that there is continuous improvement and this philosophy that we can always do it better, right?
And embedding that into your daily work life, creating that habit where you take a look at what you did, analyze it, how could I have done that better, make those notes, make those changes, and move forward, and then turn around and do it the exact same thing tomorrow.
That's right. And as you're relating to continuous improvement, not only, I mean, it's inherent that we should have a top-down, and this goes back again to the ABCs of asset management, where you've got the right executive champion, but you also need the philosophy at the plant level, the plant floor level, where it's continuous improvement, where it's defect elimination, where we are continually trying to get better. And unless they have that mindset, then your sustainability is going to waver.
Yep, absolutely. Stakeholder management, getting that right, sponsor is so vitally important in any sort of change initiative or project that we can implement.
Right. Now, within the model itself as well, I have a listing of different types of operational excellence strategies that are tied back to philosophies as well and methodologies. And I have a listing of quite a few of them. Very seldom have I ever seen a company trying to utilize all of them. And if, in fact, they were trying to use all of them, they may actually struggle a little bit. But the first one we're going to talk about under OPEX is TPM, right? Total Productive Maintenance. It focuses on improving the OEE, or the overall equipment effectiveness, through the employment of specific strategies. Okay, and some of those strategies are lean. Well, we talk about, do we want to be lean, or how do we become lean? Well, I promise you, unless you become reliable, you will never be lean. Lean is not cutting. Lean is the elimination of waste in a manufacturing environment to the point of optimization of all processes.
Yes, it's not just going in there and reducing headcount. You need to have that optimized processes, systems in place, you know, changeovers. You know, maybe you might be focusing on single minute exchange of dies. You need people to develop that. If you start chopping heads, you're never going to be able to implement that because you don't have the resources to do it. So it's all about, like you said, optimizing the systems, the processes, and not just eliminating people, which I find a lot of people get confused about.
Yeah, and the term optimization, I mean, really should be the focus. What we're talking about here is, where's that point of diminishing returns? In other words, the amount of effort that we're putting in does not generate enough change or enough sustained positive growth to make that cost worth it. If it's going to take me $100,000 to get $10,000 of change, well, that doesn't make sense from a business standpoint. So you may not actually hit world class, or you may not actually hit the number one rung, but from a business standpoint, you never actually wanted to be there. You wanted to be at that point of diminishing returns and that optimization.
Yeah, absolutely. You deliver the level of service required for the business, no more, no less.
Right. A good analogy is gas consumption, whether it's in a plane or in a car. Right. We're going to hit a point where we can get there faster, but the amount of fuel I'm going to burn in order to get there faster does not make it worth burning that extra fuel. Okay. Second, we're going to talk about a Six Sigma. We're going to talk a little bit, just what is it? Six Sigma is the statistical analysis to identify key areas of focus for improvement. Okay, people that have been doing maintenance, reliability, and consulting in this industry for 20, 30 years, they were doing Six Sigma type of statistical analysis before they even called it Six Sigma. Just keep in mind that its purpose is to identify areas of improvement. Another method would be 5S, right? 5S is a function of TPM in a lot of cases, but it's a method to clean and organize an area so that you actually remove unnecessary components and waste out of that area so that you can actually keep it clean. And if it's clean and orderly, it makes it much easier to stay efficient and to optimize that process.
I see a lot of organizations that can't get 5S embedded and sustain it, but they want to go ahead and start doing operator, you know, driven reliability, operator asset care, those sorts of things. If you can't get 5S down, chances are you're not going to be able to sustain operators doing preventative maintenance, minor corrective repairs, stuff like that, in my opinion.
No, I think you're right on track, right? It's the football analogy. If I can't block and tackle, why should I be trying to do a play action pass if I can't even keep the guys on the front line where they need to be, right?
Yep.
So until you get the blocking and tackling and the foundations of each of these specific methodologies down, it becomes difficult to move to that next level. Okay. And then that last piece we'll talk about is self-empowered work teams, which is that next level. It means allowing teams to identify and solve issues on their own and defects on their own without everything being a major undertaking where they have to go through tons of bureaucracy in order to see something move ahead.
And that's often the case in many organizations. So it's a good place to get to that self-empowered work teams.
Correct. So as again, these are the different specific facets that make up the people cell within the Plant Excellence model. And from a summary standpoint, organizational development, organizational structure, continuous improvement, change management. Right? We're talking about being able to manage the amount of change that a company can have as they go through this. You can't do too much change at the same time or else they really don't have an opportunity to embed that change as for sustained capability. And then that last component of this is operational excellence. So you've got five major facets that talk about this.
It's a great summary, and it highlights some critical pieces that our listeners need to think about when implementing an asset management program. People come first. They're the ones who live, eat, breathe that program. They can make it or break it. So getting them on board, addressing all those things is absolutely critical to the success of any organization's program.
This podcast is brought to you by Iridicio. Be sure to check out iridicio.com for a free copy of their ebook, A Smarter Way of Preventative Maintenance. This ebook will allow you to review your current maintenance program and eliminate the non-value-added work you are doing, which is most likely causing you more downtime than it is preventing. www.iridicio.com.
Now, Scott, if there was one thing you would ask people to take away from this, what would it be?
That everything starts with your people. Every single thing that you're going to want to do is going to actually deal with the people. You cannot remove the people out of this process.
I couldn't agree more. Now, Scott, I want to thank you for taking the time today to talk to our listeners about the people cell within your Plant Excellence model. And I know I learned some things. Our listeners probably learned quite a few things that they can do to make a change in their organization and make that last. And as we discussed offline, you know, what we want to do is we want to make an article on this exact cell available to our listeners. So to do that, they can go to www.hpreliability.com/people, and we will get that set up for them to download in a PDF.
Absolutely. You already have that information, and it'll be readily available the moment you actually do the podcast.
Yes. So once again, thank you, Scott, for taking the time. I appreciate it, and you have yourself a great night.
Thank you very much. Be safe.
I would like to thank you for listening and remind you that you can always find out more on maintenance, reliability, and asset management at www.iridicio.com and by following our blog. The Rooted in Reliability podcast is a proud member of the Reliability.fm network. I'd like to ask you to please rate and review this podcast on iTunes or Stitcher. It ensures the podcast stays relevant and is easy to find by like-minded professionals. It is only with your ratings and reviews that the Rooted in Reliability podcast can continue to grow. I thank you for providing this small but critical support. We'll see you next week when we dive into another burning topic with Rooted in Reliability, your plant performance podcast.